attention drawn to you. I come with humility knowing that I just have words, and we need something larger and greater than that. And so I ask that you would penetrate to our hearts, that maybe not everything I say matters, but that the parts that do would settle with us. We want to be changed, God, not just tickled in our minds, not just hearing new information, but being molded by a God who loves us and is willing to make us become like his son. And we pray that in your name. Amen. So we'll start with some good news. A recent survey states that 80% of Americans consider the Bible to be sacred. It's kind of good news because we orient to the Bible a lot. We kind of connect to that a lot. So it's nice to know that the vast majority of people that we relate with in the community around us, in the world around us, say, yeah, the Bible is also sacred. They also ascribe high degrees of sacredness to the pyramids in Egypt, to the writings of Buddha, to Machu Picchu, to a whole lot of other things. And then there's a little challenge. I'll let you read the image first, and then we'll get to the stat afterwards. So, Marie, you can go on to the next one. Laugh for a moment. That's okay. That's kind of the statement of our world, because even though 80% of Americans say, yeah, I think the Bible is sacred, 58%, or almost 60% of them, are not interested in the information or wisdom in the so-called sacred book. So they might say, hey, I think there's something spiritual, I think there's something sacred, I think there's something special, unique, kind of interesting about that. They're not actually interested in hearing what it has to say or listening to the wisdom that's contained in that. That leaves us about 40% of Americans that are. If you look at statistics, you'll find that about 30% of the population of Portland at least claims some affiliation with Christianity. It's a little bit less than one-third. If you assume that those people who have some association with Christianity are actually somewhat interested in what the Bible has to say, then that leaves only the barest margin of around 10% of our community that isn't already connected to Christ, that has any interest whatsoever in what the Bible has to say. About 1 in 7 people in our community that are not connected to Christ or to the church have any interest at all in hearing you quote the Bible to them, hearing you say something out of the Bible, any connection to where that comes from. Right, so that kind of raises a challenge for us. If a lot of our faith is rooted in the Bible and we would like to share about this loving Jesus, this beautiful Savior with others around us, because we don't have a whole lot of common ground in the Bible. There's not a whole lot of common respect for the Bible. There's not a whole lot of investment in that. Right, so we can't assume that anyone is going to care what the Bible has to say. We were taught maybe back in the 80s, even in the 90s, to follow what is the Roman road in evangelism, where you go and you open up the Bible and you show them through the book of Romans all the different passages that show them how much they need Jesus and how they need to come to faith in him. There was a common ground that they understood that was valuable and meaningful and truthful, which doesn't exist anymore in the world that we are. So if we're going to communicate about our faith, we've got to find a new way to do that. We've got to find a new pathway that's going to get us there. What I do want to encourage you with this morning is that we as a church are going to grow. We are going to see more people come into faith in Jesus Christ. But we are not going to grow simply by gathering together Christians from other churches and bringing them here. We're going to grow by finding those people that are not at all interested in the Bible and helping them discover who Jesus is. And if we're going to do that, then we have to have another way of communicating than just saying, here's the Bible, or come and listen to Pete preach because Pete preaches out of the Bible, right? We've got to find another pathway to get there. We've got to find another story to kind of share that's going to begin to start that journey for them until they can grow to the place of the Bible. There's some good news for us, though, because we all have personal experiences with Jesus that can begin to move us in that direction. And God knew that we would live in a culture that would so largely reject the Bible. It wasn't a surprise for him. He's actually quite well prepared for that. In fact, the book that we value so much, the book that we adhere to, is equally well prepared for that. If we listen to it well, it's teaching us the pathway that's in front of us. We probably assume, and if you ask in the culture, almost undoubtedly you would assume that the Bible is chock full of doctrine. The Bible's just filled with all these teaching moments about what you should do and what you shouldn't do and how to live and what God is and what God isn't and all those kinds of things. And they are certainly found within there, but do you know that only 10% of the Bible is raw theology, is propositional statements or instructions about how you should live? 10% of it. Another 15% of the Bible is just poetry. Often in the prophets, as God is kind of speaking out of them. 75% of that book is personal experience. Just story. Story after story after story after story. There's Abraham, and there's David, and there's Solomon, and there's Goliath, right? And there's Peter, and there's Paul, and there's all those stories that kind of fill the text of the Bible over and over again. And so God understands for a variety of reasons, not just because people reject the Bible. Personal story has tremendous value, tremendous experience for us. So as we read these writings out of Paul, as he's kind of facing this time in prison before he gets sent to Rome in the last couple chapters of Acts, we find again and again Paul having these moments to share his personal story. All right, this is what I've experienced and where I've come. I won't ask you to do that, but this is kind of what I do. As I look through Acts chapter 24, the reading that Alicia read for us, Paul uses I or me 15 times, just in those few short 11 verses that he has there. If you read what he has to share in chapter 26, verses 2 to 23, he says I or me 37 times. So very clearly, these are stories about Paul, right? This is my own life, my own experience. Chances are in the course of 2 to 3 minutes, which if you're going to read those out loud, that's about what it's going to take you. You rarely mention your own self 15 to 37 times. So Paul is very clearly saying, this is me, this is what I've lived, this is what I've experienced, right? He's telling it his story, and he's modeling for us this pathway of how do you communicate to people that don't value the same sacred text that you do. The quoting out of that isn't going to be transformative in their life. It isn't going to make them excited or whatever. How do I find a way to connect into them? And Paul models for us then this pathway of saying, here's what it looks like when I have my own personal story that I begin to share with you. As we look at what Paul does, let's look at a couple details that help us understand what that looks like in our life. As Paul does that, we begin to see that it really is just his own story. It isn't a covering of like, hey, let me tell you a little bit about myself, and then suddenly I remove the disguise, and it really is all about Jesus. In the first story, Jesus isn't even mentioned. Can you imagine sharing your faith and not even mentioning Jesus? He doesn't even make it in the first story, right? The whole theme that we have there is just Paul saying, this is how I lived. This is what I experienced. If you read through the first story, God doesn't even show up all that much. It's a lot of just, I went here and this and that, this happened and these people did this and I did this. And these are all the things that kind of went along the way, right? So Paul's experience is the main reason, the main theme of everything that goes on there. It isn't designed just to get at God. It's saying, hey, this is my own experience and how I went through life. So that experience is key. It is not a list of doctrine. It's not a list of Bible quotes. Right? There's not a single quotation from the Bible in that one. And doctrine, if you really want to press it in there, is maybe a couple moments here and there. There's a moment where Paul mentions his own relationship with God. I guess you could form that into doctrine, but it's not a doctrinal statement at all. Right, so all those kinds of things are going on there. Paul has this whole experience. It's not doctrine, not Bible quotes, which leads us then to think that Paul needs to get some training in how to communicate about his faith, because there seem to be a lot of things that are missing in that equation. I spent more time with that than you have this week. I'm not expecting you to figure that out. Let me point out to you some things that are normally assumed to be part of sharing our faith that Paul somehow managed to forget, right? There is no mention in either chapter 24 or 26 about a crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There's no mention of Jesus rising from the dead and Easter and the whole celebration that we have, you know, that we have because of that. Paul does mention the resurrection, but he roots it in the Old Testament. He doesn't even mention what happened to Jesus at all in the whole first story. Or he doesn't even mention Jesus in the midst of that. In the first story that we have, or the first sharing that Paul has, he doesn't mention forgiveness of sins. He doesn't have any call to faith whatsoever. He's not inviting any kind of response. Most of what we're trained is we come to this place of evangelism, if you've ever had any of that, is this: you have to get kind of the whole spectrum of the story in there. You got to start with your life before you met Christ, what it was like when you met Christ, how Christ changed your life when you met him. That's what it is to kind of share your faith. And Paul is modeling that there's a broader understanding of that. He leaves a lot of stuff out. He doesn't come and say, every time I speak, I need to include the entirety of Christian doctrine. He doesn't have this weight on him that says, every time I talk to you, I need to make sure that God is in there, that I've covered all the bases of the whole creed, that I get what it is to be dead in Christ in your sins. You're dead with, you know, in your sins before Christ, and Christ comes and redeems you and brings you forgiveness and leads you to eternal life in Jesus. I don't have to cover the whole package in there. There is, I hope for you, a freedom that comes out of this. If we were to check in our own lives, we probably tell stories and maybe rarely tell stories that include God. In part because we're afraid to mess it up. We're afraid that we won't get all the stuff out there right because it'll sound weird. We have a whole range of reasons. And I hope that as we look at Paul, we can have a little bit more peace about that, a little bit more freedom, that it's not that highly restrictive. Paul is just kind of inviting this place of saying, hey, you're speaking what you have in your own experience. It doesn't have to include every point of doctrine. It doesn't have to include all of these other factoids in there. Right, you're coming out of where you are. So this is an integrated aspect of Paul's life. If you can look at the image of that rope that's up there, I picked that for a reason. It's probably pretty hard to see from all the way back there, which is kind of what I designed it to be, although it's a little bit harder than I thought it would be. But there is a slight kind of red or pinkish strand that makes its way through all of that rope. You can move up closer or just believe me because I did pick it and I can see it. It's not set apart. It's not like there's this rope and then there's another God rope that's on the other side and the two ropes hang out together. It is woven into the midst of the whole rope. If you were to cut any section of that strand apart, it would be there. Right? It's not in your face. It's not shoving itself right in you, but it's natural. Right, everywhere the rope twists and turns, it turns around with it, but it's always present, always along with it. So there's no surprise if you look at any section of that rope and you see the red strand there. Right, because you're used to seeing it. By the time you look at that rope long enough, you're like, I know it's there. Maybe it's on the back side this time, maybe it's on the front side, maybe it's easy to see, maybe it's all the way in the middle of it, but I know if I cut it apart and look, it's going to be there. Right, because it's this natural kind of experience that we have. And this is what Paul is modeling for us. It's so important for us to get. Right, he speaks about his relationship with God because God is integrated into all of his life. And so he doesn't have this special moment where like now I'm changing to something new and I'm getting a new rope and I'm now going to talk to you about God. He just talks about himself. And inevitably, God is in there somewhere. And he doesn't feel compelled to make God every part of it, to make God the main character, to make God a minor character. He's like, if I just speak honestly and authentically, God will eventually show up. And if you listen enough to the stories, you're going to begin to get more and more of an understanding of who this God is. Until eventually you've gotten all that you need to get and you're ready to move on to that. It's a really beautiful model for us. That isn't caught up in a hyper-tense kind of moment, like now I have to communicate to you all of the essence of the Christian faith. But really a goal instead that says, I would like to share myself with you. And as I do that, inevitably you're going to find God weaving his way through the rest of my life. Without a doubt, because of the culture that we live in, you will be the only Bible that some people either see or hear. Just let that kind of sink in for you. There will be people in the world around you that will never open that book. They'll never read it through. Thanks, Marie. You can see it a little bit better in there. Can everyone see it kind of ish? All right. We tried. You'll be the only Bible that they'll ever experience. All right, so we have to find a way to begin to express that out of our lives. We have to find a way to make that practical for us. If we are going to grow, if we are going to connect, right, it's going to be because we have these stories that we get to share. Because inevitably, faith is more caught than it is taught. That's a challenge for us as a Lutheran church, because we value education tremendously. And that doesn't mean it doesn't have a purpose or a place. It's valuable and it's good. But faith almost inevitably is moved more by seeing it in others, which is why the Bible is 75% stories of seeing faith in other people's lives and only 10% teaching about what that faith means. Did any of you listen this morning as Kathy shared the family message? I know you weren't allowed to unless you're up here, but did anyone just break the rules and listen too? If you bothered to, if you didn't, then you missed out. Because it might be the most significant thing you hear all morning. Because it's not propositional statements. It's not someone teaching you in 5 points, here is how God cares for his people in the world. Here's how God answers prayer. Here's the faithfulness of God. Here's how you need to respond in prayer. There is no teaching involved in that whatsoever, right? It is merely an example of faith from, what, a 10-year-old girl? That's it. But you cannot help but hear that story and walk away with more faith in your own life. And why is that? You just caught it. When you are around people with faith, it catches, right? I mean, you can try to wash your hands and microbiote, you know, get rid of all those kinds of stuff, but it's going to catch. It's going to stick into your heart, even if you don't want it to. It has that profound way of weaving its way into our own lives. So it doesn't always have to be as amazing a story as that is, of God being prepared 5 months in advance with a hot water bottle. Just the simple stories that show up in our lives again and again. I'm talking to you about who I am, and here's God popping up. Here's a place of prayer popping up. Here's how the Bible means something to me popping up. And it's when people hear enough of those that they'll begin to say, I might want to read that book myself. I might want to pray to that God myself. I might want to know more about that myself. Right? That's God's work to produce that change. Our work to reveal it in front of people. So they may not open that book, they may not do those other things, but they're willing to hear our stories. That's a part of our culture, right? Anybody can tell their story. It's my own personal experience that has tremendous authoritative value in our world. Let's go ahead and use that gift that our culture is offering to us. In order to do that then, Marie, there should be one more picture there at the end that you can kind of bounce to. We already talked our way through. I want to have two goals for us as we kind of make our way out of here. The first is that we need to be integrated. Like, really, this is the goal that we need to have to start with. God needs to have presence 24/7 in your life. Otherwise, all that we share is going to feel unnatural. It's going to feel forced. It's going to feel like, hey, I know you. I talk to you all the time. You've never mentioned God, and now suddenly it's this kind of nervous, weighty experience. Everybody's uncomfortable. Everybody's palms are a little clammy. Yeah, we all understand that, right? That's why I'm not going to do that. It's simply a matter, not because speaking about God is hard, but he's just not integrated. If you think back over the past week, and you pretty much have only had God show up maybe at a mealtime around the table, maybe when you were in church at the last point, maybe in a devotion, but then not in the rest of your day, then God is not integrated into your life. And so speaking your stories and having God show up in there isn't going to be natural at all. All right? So the problem is the integration. And the goal then is to say, how do I weave God more into what I'm about? So as a side point, like, think about even the communication and the stories that we share through social media or online, right? That's a tremendous story-sharing venue that we have. It's a rich way to impact hundreds of people that you never could do before. If the stories that you share are reposts from somebody else, then they're not your own story. So recognize that they lack the value of that. If the story that you share is a Christian meme that's from somewhere else, or a quote from the Bible from somewhere else, recognize that that may be very valuable for other Christians. But it won't have any impact, even though you are posting it, on people that have already said, I don't have any value in the Bible. What will have tremendous value is if you can do like Paul and use a lot of I and me. This is where I was today. This is what I saw today. This is what I did today. This is what I wrestled with in my heart today. This is what I failed at today that I wish I had done differently. Those are the stories that everyone will notice. And those are the stories that have the potential to begin to move hearts. So that doesn't mean you can't post those other things online. You can do whatever you want. But just to recognize that wherever you're telling those stories, if it's someone else's, it's diminished a little bit. If it's just Christianese going out there, we've already talked about how limited that ability is to impact people in our culture. But if it's just me, right, this is where I was today, what I felt, what I experienced, with all the highs and lows of that, then there's a great opportunity to see that make a difference in the lives of others. So I want you to think, first of all, about integration. All of us, I'm just going to kind of lay that on the line, can grow in that. 1 Thessalonians, we'll get to that, talks about praying without ceasing. I doubt that any of us have quite achieved that mark, that we could say all day long, Jesus and I are tight. We're just talking the whole way through. So what I'd like you to think about is, if you look into your next week, the next 7 days of your life, is there one arena in your life, one venue, one place that you could be that you see either God is not present at all? Like, I show up at work and I don't even think about him, you know, at all. Like, I've never thought about him when I've sat at my desk. I've never thought about him when I've been on a call or whatever else it is, right? Or somewhere that, like, he doesn't show up much. Can you think of one place in your life where God doesn't have as much presence as you wish? Just grab one. Now let's pray. God, we want to be an integrated people. It is a little bit hypocritical to sing beautiful things about how great and amazing you are, and then to go out and live our lives and live even days at a time without you. If you really are great and amazing, if you really are a beautiful Savior, then you really ought to be in every moment of our life. And that might be a long goal, but we just pray this week that for whatever area we mentioned, not out of our own strength so that we rely on us, God, I'm really going to try to focus on this. I'm going to try to bring you more into that. God, we're really weak. I'm asking you to remind us. In whatever venue we were in, or whatever we thought about in our minds, God, will you this week remind us whenever we're in that place that you're there? Maybe it's watching TV. Can you just remind us as we watch TV that you're present and you're around and you care and you're with us? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at a sporting event that we go to regularly. Maybe it's making dinner. Whatever it is, God, will you just begin to find your way in to every season and place in our life? Amen. So first one that we have is integration. We have two goals that we have, right? So we want to begin to get God more engaged in all these crevices and corners of our life so that as we share stories, he naturally shows up, right? Integration is first step. Storytelling is the second step. So we just want to become then good storytellers. That's the second goal that I have for you. What's really, really cool about this is that we're not going to force it to be a God story. Right, we just need to get rid of the air quotes around those things, because if he's integrated, you can just tell any story and he'll be there. So that's the goal that we have, right? Not that I want to be good about weaving God into these places, but that he's already there and I just talk and he shows up. Right, so as we become good storytellers, I just simply need you to become a good storyteller. To practice telling stories. Some of you do this really, really well already, so this will not be a challenge for you. If anything, you might need to do a little bit more listening so you can listen to a spouse or whatever and figure that out, you know. You just look at them right now like, you're fine on this. right? You can just hear that from your friends, whatever. But for some of us, we're pretty shy or reticent to speak. And so just learning how to have that voice without any pressure that it has to be about God. So the goal that I have is, can you just tell one personal story this week? You can tell it to your closest friend. You can tell it to your parent, to your child. You can tell it to your small group. You can post it online if you want to. You can find another friend at work. But can you just have that goal? Like, I want to be a storyteller. And here's just something I experienced. It doesn't have to be about God. It doesn't have to include any of that. I just want to be good at telling stories. Because then when I'm integrated enough, God's going to be in there naturally. And that's the impact that we want to have, right? We have no agenda other than being honest about where we are and honest about those things. So will you pray with me on that one too? Father, we appreciate the stories we have from the Bible. Probably for every one of us here, one of the things we value the most about a Bible is a story. We thank you, God, for every man and woman throughout the Bible who opened up about their weaknesses and their doubts and their frailties and their successes so we could see through that, God. And if they gave that gift to us, we want to be just as generous with our own children, just as generous with our own small group, just as generous with our own community around us to share our own experiences. God, I pray that you would make us to be storytellers. That we would have a courage and a boldness to share openly just about what we experience and what we feel and where we've been and what we've done. That that'll be natural for us, God, so that as you integrate more and more into our lives, you just show up honestly in our stories. Because, God, we live in a world that we want to see you. And right now, it seems like they're rejecting a source of seeing you from the Bible. But they're open to hearing our stories. They're incredibly open to hearing our stories. So God, I pray that we have courage and boldness to step into the door that is unlocked. Not to worry about the ones that are locked or shuttered or you know, caved in, but to realize you've given us a pathway forward so that our community around us can understand the same God that we know. We thank you, God, that you've forgiven us for the times we've been quiet, that you forgive us for the times that we have not integrated you into our lives, that we haven't chosen to speak honestly about you, and that you have a power to change that. We rejoice, God, over the future baptisms we will see because of your work in the hearts and lives of people. We pray that in your name. Amen.